If you know the difference between Nick Cave and Nick Kent, you may already be a rock and roll snob. If not, you're not alone. And if you care, you might want to read the Rock Snobs Dictionary, an A to Z reference guide meant to help the novices among us. Music critic Meredith Oakes has a review.
Do you know what band this is? I'll give you a hint. It's not the Beatles. Here's another one. Can you name this artist?
His head was spinning freely, and it was plain to see. His burden was himself, he bore the sight as has to be.
If you guess Clat 2 and Skip Spence, well, you may be a rock snob. For you non-snobs, here's a little history. Clat 2 were a mysterious late 70s Canadian band that some folks thought were the Beatles reuniting under an alias. Of course, it was just wishful thinking and a damn good conspiracy theory. The second song was by Skip Spence, the late lead singer of Moby Grape. It's from his bizarre celebrated solo album titled Or, which he recorded in his pajamas. Now, has your life changed in some profound way since you discovered these two esoteric albums? I highly doubt it. David Camp and Stephen Daly, the authors of the Rock Snobs Dictionary, define their terms right on the cover of their book. Rock snob, noun, is a reference term for the sort of pop connoisseur for whom the actual enjoyment of music is but a side dish to the accumulation of arcane knowledge about it. And that's where I thought rock snobs and I parted ways. I'm obsessed with listening to music. I've always considered the arcane details to be an afterthought. Still, I found the Rock Snobs Dictionary irresistible because it treats the reverent subject of music snobbery with such irreverence. Camp and Daly poke fun at the British magazine Mojo, the Rock Snobs' holiest tome, by calling it a melanin-deficient monthly. They describe pre-punk Detroit garage rockers, the MC5, as wild-eyed but ugly rhetoricians. And they sum up beloved folk singer Nick Drake in one incomplete sentence. Was frequently photographed standing dolefully among trees.
I saw it written and I saw it say, the pink moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. The pink moon, and I get you.
I'm not sure that Camp and Daly's descriptions are entirely fair, but they sure are entertaining. And to me, that's the point of so-called rock snobbery. Entertainment. In Nick Hornby's book High Fidelity, which Camp and Daly call a comprehensive anthropological study of the rock snob, the music-obsessed characters miss out when they assign greater significance to trivia over the music itself and ultimately over their relationships. In the end, it's about the music. And by describing the minutiae as cheekily as they do, I think Camp and Daly get that. Though they definitely push the boundaries of taste in their Rock Snob Hall of Fame, a list of musicians and writers whom they call the torchbearers of rock snobbery, and a hall of shame filled with music luminaries whom snobs are supposed to hate. Their hall of fame includes the Beastie Boys and Morrissey. Wait a second. The Beastie Boys? Sure, they sampled some amazing old soul singles, but they're also the forebearers of the appallingly bad funk rock scourge of the late 1990s. And Morrissey? Mopey, whiny Morrissey is in their Hall of Fame for championing the New York Dolls, while Paul McCartney is in their Hall of Shame for the crime of being sociopathically chipper? Come on! Listen to Revolver, one of the greatest pop albums ever. Jack Black is in the Hall of Fame, but Brian Wilson isn't? Oh no, I really am a rock snob. I am so sorry.
You don't get me.
The book is The Rock Snob's Dictionary, an essential lexicon of rockological knowledge. Our reviewer is Meredith Oakes.
When your prizes start to weigh you down. Look in my direction. action. I'll be around.